Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. Well, 'tis the season, holidays or holy days. Here to talk with us about this is, I consider you a friend.
And you're a friend as well, Scott. Thank you.
Rabbi Brian Lichen. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So listen, we are 2 days into Hanukkah and 3 days before Christmas. And really the theme for today, and even driving in here this morning, people seem so distracted, so frazzled, and you're too young probably to remember this, but there was this old Led Zeppelin song, Dazed and Confused.
Of course.
So what I really wanted to talk to you a little bit about is, you know, have we strayed from the original intention of these holidays, right? And what's interesting also, I think that people sometimes forget. Now, you and I talked about this just a few minutes ago, but the politically correct thing today is not to wish people a Merry Christmas, nor necessarily to wish people a Happy Hanukkah. We have now defaulted to Happy Holidays, and we've all kind of, you know, we've taken a sip of the Kool-Aid, and that's more or less what most people do with the best of intentions, not wishing to offend anybody. But I think what's interesting is many people don't realize, or they don't really think about, the origin of holiday, which is really holy days. So
absolutely,
these are the holy days. And let's talk a little bit about this. I'd love to learn, and for our listeners, for you to just talk a little bit about the origins and the meaning behind Hanukkah.
Yeah, well, absolutely. First of all, Scott, thank you so much for having me. I am here as a rabbi, but absolutely as a friend as well. I think you bring up an absolutely profound point. Holidays, holy days, these are clearly times of the year in which Christians, Jews, and people of many different other faiths are pausing in some respect, maybe heading to the shopping mall and doing last-minute shopping, but also doing some pausing and some introspection. In Hebrew, the word for holy actually means separate, separation, which I think has something to offer all of us, because this is a time of year, no matter our religious background, where there's a separation from the rest of the year. Now, as Jews, we have this every single week on Shabbat, which is a separation from the rest of the week. But this is annually something in our American society that we have a pause, a separation from the year, a chance, an opportunity to look at what's around us and to realize what's meaningful, what makes our lives fulfilling and filled with hope. So I do think that this time of year is an opportunity not just for Christians, not just for Jews, but for people of all different backgrounds to simply pause, open their eyes, and see what's around them.
Do you think now, again, when I'm when I'm out there on the roads, and I'm not really a mall person, but when I drive by the malls, my gosh, it is just teeming with people. I get the sense that we are more focused. So I'm Catholic, but speaking in part of the Christian tradition, in the Christian tradition, we began almost 4 weeks ago a period known as Advent. You're familiar with Advent. And that's really, it's interesting. It's really preparing. It's all about preparation, and it's about preparing to receive a gift. And of course, in the Christian tradition, the gift comes on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. in the form of the baby Jesus, right? So I believe, you know, with the best of intentions, the whole idea of, you know, giving gifts, you know, it's often referred to as the season of love. And so I think the idea of exchanging gifts, I think the intentions are pure, you know, the motivations. Yet we somehow get lost in we stray, let's say, a little bit away from, again, the pure intention and motivations. Any
right.
thoughts on that?
And that's why we're here today. Dazed to confuse, right? I think that that's absolutely true. I think that people are And this happens with Hanukkah as well, and Jews, where we focus so much on the commercialism, on the shopping, on the objects, rather than on the meaning. I think that the goal for all of us is to try our best to look beyond that. Because it can be just as consuming as the rest of the year. It goes back to that point about separation, because during the year, we are so focused on not only making a living, not only doing what we need to do to care for our families and our loved ones, but also on this fast-paced lifestyle of iPads and iPhones and Blackberries. But this season can easily become an extension of that rather than a separation from that, a break from that, a pause from that. I think what we're seeking to do as a collective is to take a deep breath and say to ourselves that, yes, presents, gifts, they're all part of this. But what's most important is what we already have, and to open our eyes and to see what's already there. And unfortunately, both of our traditions have focused extensively on the commercialism of this time of year, which, again, it's an extension of the rest of the year. And if we really think of this as a holy time, as being a separate time, we would see that as being a break with the rest of the year.
So for those people listening, you know, in their automobiles, on the way to the malls and their shopping destinations, should they slam on the brakes and, you know, go back home and, and you know, rethink, you know, their actions? You know, what would you recommend? What do we do?
Absolutely not. Keep going to the shopping malls.
The economy needs
it,
right?
Yeah, we need it. We need it. But take the time and find the time. This is a season in which our culture does slow down. Use it. You know, I think one of the challenges over the last few decades, Jews have developed their own rituals to deal with Christmas time. And one of the rituals has been to go to the movies. So the movies have become this spectacular tradition for Jews. What we've noticed lately is that there's actually just as many non-Jews at the movies today as there are as Jews. I remember as a child going to the movies during Christmas time, and there would be 15 of us, all from synagogue. And now it's packed. I think it's great. But we're all sitting there staring at a big movie screen rather than being at home together, talking, listening to one another, relaxing. So find the time. Yes, there is a time for everything, right? As we learn from our text, but there is a time to shop, and there's a time to be at home and to relax and to be with the loved ones.
Oh, I love that! So, so as I mentioned earlier, we are just wrapping up this period of Advent of preparation. And I have to, you know, be very candid in terms of my ignorance around, you know, Hanukkah. So 2 days into it, how long is the period, and what are you required? What are you required to do during that period? What is the primary focus, if you will?
Right. Well, the truth is that Hanukkah is a very minor Jewish holiday that's been elevated by Americans' inclusion in American society.
Now, see, I thought because it always seems to take place right around Christmas time,
right,
that it was this big, probably the most significant.
The highlight of the year.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So, and many Jews believe that too.
Speaking as an ignorant Catholic on matters of Jewish tradition.
Right. I remember Saturday Night Live used to have John Lovitz playing Hanukkah Harry when Santa Claus got sick, and the kids would be brought slacks instead of the presents, and they were quite upset. But no, Hanukkah is very different than it's been portrayed in our culture, and it is a holiday that is about the oppression of the Israelite people, about how their temple was taken over, and how they took it back. And it really is in line with many Jewish holidays. There's an old Jewish joke that says every Jewish holiday is summed up by, they tried to kill us, We survived. Now let's eat. And that is clearly what Hanukkah is about. We did survive after this period of oppression. And the historical holiday is actually a later celebration of another holiday called Sukkot, which happens earlier in the year, which is much more in line with Thanksgiving. That was an eight-day holiday. The reason why Hanukkah is 8 days is because it was a later celebration of Sukkot. Why could they not celebrate Sukkot? Because they were in war. Mm-hmm. So Hanukkah, again, is a very minor holiday from the tradition's perspective. It's been elevated by American culture, by Christmas, and our being with Christian friends and neighbors. It's both to the detriment of the holiday, but I think if we reframe it, it also opens up some possibilities.
Is it considered then a sacred time, a holy time in the Jewish tradition?
Sure, yeah. Of course it is, and it's a time of year in which there's also a story that was added, and whether or not it has historical proof is besides the point. That when the Israelites or the Maccabees came back into the temple to rededicate it. That's what Hanukkah means, dedication. Mm-hmm. To rededicate it, that they had only enough oil to light the menorah for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. So it was called a miracle. So we say in our blessings as we light the Hanukkah candles, thank you, God, for the miracles you gave in the past and the miracles that you give now. Again, whether or not that story has historical proof, I think is besides the point, because miracles and recognizing miracles is what Hanukkah actually offers, a time to sit down and look around and say, my goodness, there are so many miracles around us.
We're going to be taking a break in just a few seconds, as we prepare for that and to prepare to come back, there are many people this time of the year. So for many people, it's a very happy, joyful time of the year. But there are also many, many people who are alone, people who have experienced loss, people who are experiencing deteriorating health, people who are estranged from, you know, family, friends, loved ones. I'd be curious and very interested, and I think as a help to our listening audience again, your thoughts on that. How do we bring the joy into this season? And then I'll share a few thoughts from some material I've been working on for an upcoming book, The Third Power, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Great. Scott Ventrella with Rabbi Brian Lichen here at 1490 WGCH. Be back in a second.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Connecticut National Guard. Aired by the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back. Scott Ventrella, The Business of Living. We're here talking with Rabbi Brian Lichen about, well, this season, holidays, dazed and confused, or holy days. And before the break, we talked a little bit about, for many, many people, this is a very joyful time of the year. But for also a number of people, this can be a very sad and lonely time of the year. Thoughts, any ideas on how people can, more than just, you know, some people approach this as I've got to just I've just got to suck it up or just kind of get through the best I can and survive. But I'd like to, you know, step that up a little bit. How about, you know, finding some joy? How about not only just struggling through, but actually having a good time in the spirit of the season?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that, please?
I'd love to share a story, and this is a story that I think fits with your question very, very profoundly. When I was in seminary, I was studying to become a rabbi. I was hired by a senior citizens camp to work as the rabbi there, and I went, and I'm a reform rabbi, so I don't have a beard. I don't have payas.
You're very well shaved.
Thank you.
Yes.
And
don't lose your train of thought. But when I was first introduced, I'm gonna embarrass the rabbi. he was introduced to me before I actually met him. They said he is the GQ rabbi. but ladies, he's married, happily married with kids.
I've also been called the Oshkosh Bagosh rabbi. And trust me, when I went to this camp, they looked at me and said that those not the GQ comment, but certainly Oshkosh Bagosh. So for the time I was there, I certainly wasn't treated as a rabbi, which was okay. On the very last day I was there, it was in the Berkshires, and there was a little lake, and there was an older woman who took me aside and said, Rabbi, she was the first person to call me Rabbi. She said, Rabbi, can I talk to you? And I said, of course. And I thought this was going to be, you know, this amazing moment where I was going to learn so much. And she brought me down to the lake, and she said to me, Rabbi, I've lost my husband 3 weeks ago. I just recently lost all of my dear friends who have rejected me because they're still with their spouses and for a number of other reasons. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, Rabbi, can you make me believe in God? As the sounds of all the other people at the camp laughing and playing and bridge and doing what they were doing was all around us, here was this woman in deep, deep pain. And she was asking me to make her believe in God. And as a young seminary student, I tried. And I tried. And after about 45 minutes, she put her hand on my hand. And I'll never forget the feeling of her hand just being on top of my hand. And she looked and she looked me in the eyes and she said, nice try. I went back to school and I asked one of my favorite professors what I should have said. What should I have said? And his response, I still remember to this day, his response was, you should have asked her what God she wants to believe in. Wow. Now, this was a theologian, somebody who has very specific ideas about God, who was telling me to ask somebody what God they wanted to believe in. I think what this says, the lesson in it, is for caregivers as much as it is for those who are in pain at this time of year, and that is the active power of listening. I think we need to do our best, even at these times of joy, to not forget about those people who are in tremendous pain and to recognize that it is not simply saying things to them, making them believe in God, making them believe in joy, making them get over pain. It's being present and it's active, not just listening, active listening with passion. Because when you listen to somebody with that kind of heart and soul, I think that people feel such comfort. And it's more comfort than will ever come from giving them a theology lesson.
That is an incredible story. It reminds me of a time not too long ago, a couple of months ago. I'm a runner, so I was running, and I was about halfway into my run. Now, runners, we don't like to stop, okay? The rule is you don't stop. The cars have to stop for you, et cetera. And there was a gentleman, he's in his 80s, and I've known him for a long time. I went to school with his son, so we know each other, and he is a walker. And I remember he was walking along the sidewalk and I'm running towards him, thinking that it would be nice for me to, you know, stop and say hello. And I think this might have been around Thanksgiving, and wanted to ask him about his family and wish him a happy Thanksgiving and so on. And because there was some distance, I saw him up ahead quite a ways. I was going through this in my mind. You know, do I break up my cadence, right, my rhythm, to stop and chat, or do I move on? And I decided that I was going to move on right up until I came face to face with him. And then I stopped. And not only did I stop, but I chatted with him for about 5 minutes. And I was really struck by what he said afterwards. He said, "Scott, thank you so much for stopping and talking." He lost his wife several years ago. He lives alone. Very active still, but so your story reminds me of that, how that's appreciative he was that that I had stopped, and I felt all the better for it.
Right, and just been there. Just you didn't have to. You just had to just stop and be present.
So we don't need to tell people, hey, you know, you got to get over it, move past things. This is a joyful time of the year. You should believe in God, believe in something bigger than yourself. And we don't need to do that for people who are, let's say, again, who have experienced loss, especially recently, or people who are lonely or depressed or whatever. That's not that.
Absolutely, that's not something
we need to do.
Yeah, as a pastoral caregiver, I believe that the power of human interaction is found in the power of humans being present for other humans. I really believe that that is what gives people hope, rather than giving people our own philosophies, our own theories, which I'm sure I know I have many. I tried to give them out, but there's nothing more powerful than if you can laying your hand on someone's hand, or just being present with them. That there's nothing more meaningful in the world. We're social creatures. That's what we need. We need each other's presence.
And we don't necessarily even need to find the right words or say anything at all.
Absolutely not. Sometimes silence truly is golden.
So I'm going to thank you for that, and I'm going to share just a couple of my own thoughts as I'm working on. Many of you might know that this show is based on my most current book, Me, Inc., How to Master the Business of Being You. But I'm working on another one called The Third Power. There are really three themes. There is the me power, and so as we think about this holiday season, these holy days, what does that mean to, you know, to tap into the me power? Really, the me power is we're so focused on doing good for others, which is a great thing, to be selfless. Think about, because many people ignore themselves. So do something good for yourself. That's the kind of the me power. Take care of yourself. Do something special for yourself. Now, don't break the bank doing it. You don't have to do that, but do something special for yourself. Next is the we power. We live interdependent lives. We depend on others. We constantly are interacting with other folks. And when I think about, especially this time of the year, as we think about getting together with family and loved ones and people traveling and going here and there, there are so many people that say, well, that have these grudges. Well, I'm not going here because of, you know, so-and-so, and because they said this or they did that. There seems to be so much discord in this season of love. Yeah. So I think the we power is to remember that, you know, we don't live in a vacuum. You know, we need to depend and count on others, especially our loved ones and people we'll be connecting with during the holidays. Let's not escape them by going to the movie theater or somewhere else. So really the thing that comes to my mind relative to we power is to forgive grudges. And I think that this is the perfect time, and I know there's a special holiday in your own tradition.
Yes. Yom Kippur, yeah. which is the Day of Atonement, yeah. But that doesn't mean we can't be forgiving all year round.
All year
it's
round.
Just one special day to remind us about forgiveness. Yeah.
And I would say now, regardless of your tradition, that this is a time And even for non-believers, let's say, people outside of the Judeo-Christian faith or non-believers or other religions, this is a time, I think, when people get together to forgive grudges and forgive others and really from the heart. Finally, the third power is the power. That is T-H-E-E. And that is, regardless of your faith system, to find some quiet time. And I think that that's, you know, we're coming full circle. How do you make this period, this holiday, a holy day period, that is really to find the quiet time for reflection and to express gratitude. So just a couple of thoughts. And Rabbi Brian, any final words for our audience before we wrap up?
Sure, Scott. There's a great Hasidic story about a rabbi. His name is Levi Yitzchak. And he sees people in a town square just running frantically. And he sees this one man and he stops him and he says, "What are you doing running? Why are you running?" The man says, "I'm running to make a living." And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says to him, "What if your living is behind you?" I think that story says so much about this season. It's a time to pause. No matter our faith. I think I thank you. You really are thinking outside of the box by bringing in a rabbi during this time of year and to talk about this. But even Jews are slowing down, believe it or not.
Well, I want to say this, that I thought of you as a holy man first, a rabbi second, and not to take anything away from your calling. So listen, may I wish you a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to everybody listening. We're right in between this wonderful sacred period. Next week, are you prepared for the new year? Next week, we have special guest Tevis Trower of Balance Integration helping to provide tips on preparing for the new year. New year, new you. This is Scott Ventrella. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? See you next week.
Moment we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down.